me. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming to the Tuesday, July 11th special meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District. May I have a roll call, please?
Director Tacker.
Here.
Vice President Fouché.
Here.
Director Sasania.
Here.
Director Sennett.
Here.
President Schicker.
Here. Mr. Blesky, could we have corrections to the agenda and any announcements you might want to make?
Madam President, under the consent calendar, we're going to postpone item number 5, approved financial statements for period ending May 31st, and item 6, approved investment report for period ending May 31st. They need to go to committee. And the only other correction is under the report out of a closed session under pending litigation. If we look down to Sturdivant versus LOCSD, the agenda states in slow small claims court, it should be Superior Court, and that's the only corrections we have to the agenda, and unless there's things from the board.
Anything from the board? Mr. Murphy, could you give a report out of closed session for us, please?
Certainly, Madam President. We discussed in closed session pending litigation. Your board was briefed on each of the pending cases. Your board was also briefed on the potential sale of certain district property. And your board reached no conclusions and took no actions during closed session.
Thank you. Mr. Blesky, could you please report on the one case?
We just got on July 10th, we got delivered a from the Superior Court in the case, small claims case of Frank Merrill versus the CSD. And Commissioner Finley dismissed the action in favor of the CSD.
Mr. Blesky, could you explain to the audience what that case is about?
Thank you. Sorry, Madam President. That is the case where Mr. Merrill was requesting a refund of his prepaid assessment. And evidently the judge thinks that it's premature for him to be asking for that because this has not played out yet, not completed.
Thank you. Okay. All right, let's get right into it. Will it be you, Mr. Blesky, who will... consent calendar. Does the board have any questions or comments on the consent calendar items that remain, which would be 8 and 9? Is that correct?
Yeah, Madam President, I have to give those requests verbally.
Okay.
Item number 8 is authorization to retain website maintenance agreement with Infinite Computer Services. This is a six-month, where staff is requesting authority to enter into a six-month agreement with Infinite Computer Services for the maintenance of the website. This is the continuation of their existing contract. That requires approximately a $2,500 advance to the Infinite Computer Services. Just want to inform the board and the public that normally during the course of the year, based upon the existing contract, that we normally spend about $15,000 on website services. This $2,500 is just to retain them, and this is how it's been done in the past. Normally it's done on an annual basis. Staff attempted to go month to month, but that would have increased the expense. And then a quarterly, that would have also increased the expense. $2,500 is what we believe to be in the interest of cash flow and also to meet the district's requirements. It is the most advantageous to the district at this time.
Could you just further elaborate on what the contract entails and what the amount of what the hourly rates are for the employees?
The $2,500 prepay, or up to $2,500, is essentially just to get them on board. And then I think it's $140 an hour for them to update and post special listings that we use routinely to communicate with the public. And that's where we get to about $15,000 in the past a year.
Great. Any other questions from the board on that item? Okay, the next item?
Item number 9 is essentially software optimization. This is necessary to continue this due to what our audit revealed and the manager's report to maintain those controls that we put in place. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
And you're saying we're being charged $100 an hour for a CPA rate?
Yes.
A full CPA.
Right. And
that's interesting.
Also helps provide us with some, with other services of a financial nature and managing accounts and interfacing with some of our investment firms and stuff. A little bit outside, but
okay. Any questions from the board about those two contracts? Those are the only two items on consent, so let's open it up to public comment. Who would like to speak? Just on consent calendar, please.
I think Infinite Computer Services. Pardon me. My name is Al Barrow. And sometimes you might think I'm from Mars, but I really am from Los Osos. And I do, if you can't kid about yourself, then you're in trouble. So we have to take ourselves with a little humor, I think. Anyway, item 8 is Annie Mueller's company, I believe. Infinite, is that right? And she's had that contract since the inception of the website in 99. It seems to me $140 an hour for computer services is pretty high. And nobody's ever put this out to a competitive bid. It's not a big issue, but it could be, you know, $8,000 or $9,000 saved that we could use for something we really need. So, you know, I've seen some pretty bad work, some late activities, and I think if you just look around a little bit or put it out, I don't know, it looks like it's a done deal, but that's my comment on the consent calendar. Thank you very much.
Mr. Buskey or Mrs. Vega, do you recall if that is that the correct rate for the computer consultant, $140 an hour? There's some discussion up here. Is that the correct rate?
That is for work that's outside the day-to-day maintenance. In other words, if they set up like a special page for a special project, that's when that $140 an hour kicks in. Usually the amount of those fees would... it would be prudent to negotiate the effort prior to authorizing that task order.
Okay, so she has a monthly retainer.
Yes.
That is not based on an hourly rate. It's for all sorts of need as needed, unless there's a special.
That's correct.
Mrs. Vega might probably knows the contract longer.
What I do remember is that, yes, her retainer or her contract includes all posting of all the agendas and, you know, things of a routine nature, notices of meetings and that kind of thing. And also, I lost my train of thought here. I can't even remember what I was going to say. Isn't that terrible?
It's
been a very long week, and it's only Tuesday. I'll think about this in a minute. You had asked me about...
Just what entails
the one,
her base rate and what would be extra at 140, but what would...
And the other thing that it does include is when people sign up for the mass email notices of all the district's press releases and that type of thing, it goes out that way too. Anything that's sent to her that goes out to the list mail is included in that. And what I was told is that, you know, in the recent past, let's say the last year to 2 years, when things have really been hopping around here and we've had lots of notices, that she's actually had to increase the level of, I guess there's a certain, when you're a webmaster and you have this, there's a certain level that you reach and then you have to pay more to whoever she contracts with. And so it actually, you know, increased her cost there too.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Question?
Do I understand this right? If we ask for things like the Ripley report or other things to be put on the web, then we're paying that $140 an hour. to put that on? I mean, I still don't have a real good handle. Is everything over and above posting of agendas and regular meetings $140 an hour?
That's what I'm under that impression. That's how we get to that $15,000 for a normal year.
Okay, next speaker, please. Mr. Cribbs.
Good evening. Chuck Cribbs, Los Osos. Item number 9. A question. It's just exactly what controls did our auditor ask for this particular company to, whoever this is, to manage? I heard that there are controls that need to be from the audit, but what needs to be controlled? I didn't hear that specifically.
Let me clarify my statement. The audit...
And I think it might be helpful if you explain the transition to the rest of the audience that wasn't at the Finance Committee, the transition of where she's helping where...
Yes.
Kathleen.
We have Kathleen Schumacher was our interim ASM, and she's got a number of health reasons, and so she's going down to... partial time as we transition in and start looking for a new ASM. In the interim also, as when we had the need for, when the previous ASM was not available during the course of the day, Anna Jane also was brought in to help do the day-to-day management of the administrative department, or at least supervise or assist the general manager in carrying out the board's policy, and she did do that fill-in. And she did that on the same number of hours, about an average of 16 hours a week. We intend to do that same thing, is to use Anna Jane to bridge that time until we can find a permanent replacement for the interim admin services manager.
Who else would like to speak? Mr. Taylor?
George Taylor, Los Osos. I have a question. You don't need to answer it until I finish. I'm curious as to how long have we been looking for somebody to act as a new webmaster, or have we been looking? In other words, do we have an RFP out or anything like that to try to find somebody to manage our website? I have made cursory inquiries about the same thing. I think that we could be very well served by someone that has the interest of the CSD more at heart. And I would like to know more about this, because I think that we can... if we'd have known about it, I might have been able to come aboard with something. But I was not aware that we were even had a contract that was expiring. And so I'd like to know how we can help you. We're trying to help you to cut costs, but if we don't know, how are we going to be able to help you? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Is there anything you'd like to respond to, Mr. Buskey?
We could always put out an RFP if that's what the board directs. I don't think...
Director Tacker?
I feel a little bit like it's my fault that this kind of got away from us. The Outreach Committee, we've talked about it several times, how there's got to be citizens that would be willing to volunteer. And I dropped the ball. I should have... followed the contract and when it was going to expire, so that we could have looked for someone to volunteer or come in at a different rate. And I'll take the blame on that one, and I hope we can still put that outreach, you know, reach out and ask someone to maybe maintain our website at a reduced price, or volunteer would be ideal. But this $2,500 gets us started, and my recollection of the contract is that we do not have to fulfill it the full term, that it's ours to call. And should we find that volunteer or that less expensive provider, we can make that decision when it comes.
And then I would just like to add, ask your Outreach Committee to do the research required to transition that and discuss that with Infinite Computer Services about their arrangement and the costs of volunteerism and how that could augment, either augment or help. So, Mr. Buskey, did you have some?
With the end of the year and a lot of contracts of this nature coming due, things do get caught up into this whirlwind. Even in a normal year, it can happen. With going to January, we may want to take a look at when we come back in January and things are less intensive, then you'll have another opportunity to, and the time to concentrate without the load that you see at the end of the year. And other options will become available, including if you desire to put out an RFP. So there are options available.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else up on the board? Okay, Mr. Mergensen.
Richard Mergensen. The first question I have is, do the directors have a report on either of these items in their packet? No?
No, it was a verbal report tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Closing public comment on this item. Let's bring it back to the board. When is the next Finance Committee meeting?
I don't. Did they set a meeting in last night?
Director Sennett?
Leon Golden is here, I believe, but I heard that we were going to meet possibly next Monday. Tentatively.
Okay, so the decision of the board is to approve it tonight, these things tonight, or send it to finance or modify. So let's discuss.
When does the current contract expire?
They both expired on the 30th.
Do we have any immediate needs for, well, obviously posting the next agendas?
Yes.
I have a question.
Director Tanker?
Mr. Blessy, these are both at will. So if the Finance Committee took a look at it and they found something glaring that said, you know, we don't want to continue, how would we be penalized if we wanted to shift gears, change horses, whatever?
Well, then they would make a recommendation to the board for following action.
So I guess my question is, we could approve this tonight and the Finance Committee could still review it next week, and should there be something glaring that needs to be changed with either contract, we could do that.
Not so much with the website, the webmaster one. Not so much.
I mentioned that before. Is that we don't have to fulfill that contract, that whole 6 months.
That's what I'm led to believe, but I think you're going to be out the $2,500.
Okay.
Or whatever that buy-in is. Yeah.
Anybody else? Can we have a motion or a decision? Anybody have an opinion or want to make a motion?
I would really like to delay the approval, but there could be an incident this next week. It's like being without an IT department for us. And it would severely compromise the district's operation, I feel, to postpone it. It's a six month contract. Are these what I would ask? Are these normal customary charges for this type of service?
Yes. You've been, I think some of the public comments about competing the webmaster services contract definitely have merit, and that would probably give you a better gauge of what the market value for those services are. I don't particularly have any feel for what they are other than this is what we have been paying, but certainly the market would bear out what reasonable rates are. As far as bringing in our CPA, she has reduced her fees from our previous amount, but basically about the same level of services. And we do have a requirement for that, and it's just basically a change order to extend that contract with the modifications that we that I previously discussed.
Director Taggart?
I move we approve the consent calendar.
Do you have a second?
I'll second that, but I would like these two items reviewed by the Finance Committee next week or at their earliest opportunity.
Okay. Is that an amendment to the motion? Okay, any other further discussion or comments? A roll call vote, please.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Sesania.
Yes.
Director Tacker.
Yes.
Vice President Fouché.
Yes.
President Schicker.
Yes. Okay, let's go on to the next item, which is set the fiscal year 06-07 special fire tax rate pursuant to Measure A-05 and the LOCSD Ordinance 2005-01 and approve submission of tax roll to the county for collection. The action requested is to adopt the resolution and to set the rates per some unit of benefit and direct staff to submit tax roll to the county for collection. Turn it over to Mr. Blesky or Mr. Miller. I'm not sure who's presenting.
I'll present A. Madam President, members of the board, member of the public, I think the staff report on item A, on agenda item A, does sum up the history of the fire tax and what staff's initial recommendation was and what's available to you. What's not reflected in the staff note, there's the is a number of committee. What's required to for the CDF to run is to increase the maximum special tax to $13.52. Now, I believe this is about a 40% increase. What did we pay last year? I don't have that in front of me here. What was it, $7.52? It's not in here. $7.52. However, as the reason why last year was so low was because we were drawing the reserve. The intent was to draw the reserve down to a board-specified amount of about $500,000. And it was known at that time that an increase up to the maximum amount of $13.52 could be the community would be faced with this fiscal year. So this was programmed in, and also in the ordinance, it allows for the CPI average here for the period ending June of 2006 to get a CPI increase to that 1352, and for that period ending was 4.86 to increase the tax rate to 1418. All right, that said, the 1418 will, excuse me, the 1352 will operate the CDF and also buy you about a $35,000 reserve. In other words, you're about balanced on the budget. And that includes all the necessary transfers. The discussion came up with is that in understanding the CSD's current needs, and what it comes down to is for cash and even allowing for the borrowing that was done in the past, that the discussion came up, is it wise to maximize or to make the maximum effort on this tax to 1418? And there was a couple of schools of thought on that. One is, do we balance the CSD off the CDF, and that was discussed. How... The other question that came up is, needing cash is obvious. And the other question is that from going to the 1352 to the 1418, how much does that buy you? And are we just contributing to an attempt to make things better on the cash side for the other accounts by borrowing against the CDF? And really, what does that buy you? I think at the Emergency Services Committee, what I was left with from their recommendation and was that essentially the fire tax should pay for fire services. But they were sympathetic. And I think from the Finance Committee, they were looking at a policy decision on how much you want to try to stave off or risk in the way of a tax to help out with other funds at this time. Now, keep in mind, we have a lot of things hanging out there. We're still working on other financial options, and we just don't have those answers at this time. And we have to come up with an answer. Be more than happy to answer any questions. And we have some other members here, too, if they want to chime in, Leon Golden.
Okay. I'd like to hear from both committees, if I could, starting with Emergency Services or Mr. Leon Golden from Finance. Whoever wants to go first. Just from the committees for the presentation and then questions after they present.
The Finance Committee discussed this issue last night amid a lot of confusion as to what exactly the emergency services folks had done. And we were left with the impression that the amount, the raised amount that was first asked for, the $14, I think it's 18 cents, was necessary in order to have the fire department deliver us the services that we've been getting. We voted to recommend to you that you go to that figure. But let me tell you, there is a footnote to that. Not so much a footnote, but it's part of our recommendation. And that is that whatever tax money comes in under the special fire tax should be designated and used only by the fire department. So it's your policy decision now to make how much you need, whether you need to go to the 14-18, that's up to you to make that decision. But the major thrust of our recommendation is whatever you do.
Included in your contract, so it's already a given number. Even if fuel prices go up, it's covered.
Anything else?
Maybe, but not right this. Unless, do you have anything else for Mr. Golden right now? Senator?
What I was wondering, aside from hybrid fire trucks to save money, what are the obligations of the fire department budget to satisfy the legal defense for the ACL complaints and any facilities improvements for the fire department facilities, the ones that the district owns, just in general? Is that accounted for in the budget?
That's in our budget.
Yes.
And it was, I believe, $50,000 for next year?
30.
30, that's right.
But that is being revised because a lot of those
fees are attributed to the fire department.
Somewhere, but yes. A lot less, too. I think our legal fees are going to be going down.
Okay.
Because most of the work is done.
Good.
Any other questions from the board right now? Director Tacker, would you mind giving a report of results from the Emergency Services Committee? Thank you, Mr. Golden, for the Finance Committee's report.
Our vice chair is here, if you'd prefer. Vita, do you want to talk about what?
Well, I don't think I'm here in an official capacity because I wasn't asked to be here in official capacity, but I am on the Emergency Services Committee. We didn't adopt the maximum amount. I know that. We decided that wasn't necessary, and I can't remember the exact dollar figure we did. Was it the 1352 that we approved?
Yes, I believe it was the 1352.
And that does give somewhat of a reserve still, but we felt that was necessary to leave that little bit of a reserve there. But absolutely, I know our committee agrees that money is designated for fire services, fire and emergency services. And our committee definitely agrees with that.
Thank you. Ms. Miller.
CDF and Chief Benares brought what their recommendation was, and it's there must be a typo in the resolution, so I want that fixed. It was the recommendation from CDF San Luis Obispo on the third from the last whereas in my copy.
I'm familiar with that.
Okay.
Right.
Second page, third page, second page. So the CDF recommended to emergency services that 1352 would cover their expenses with a small reserve. And then the committee did adopt that price and forwarded that recommendation to us. So, and then they did underscore that fire money raised through the fire tax should be for the fire department and the services there. So if we chose to raise this to the 1418, I don't think that borrowing it would be something that the committee would appreciate, and I think the citizens probably would echo that. I do. I echo that. I think any reserves that are raised through the fire tax should remain for emergency services purposes. And to some extent, yeah, that is legal defense in the ACL. You know, the fire department didn't ask to be fined, and they do need to be defended. So there will be some bills related to the actions of the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and that is reflected in our budget, but it is something that was completely unforeseen last year. But if we were to raise it to the 1418, the committee, I think it's fair to say, would expect that those reserves remain at the fire department, designated as such, and even further, maybe a separate fund that is a firewall from the ability to borrow that money. Some stopgap so that the money is specified for fire use.
Thank you. Mr. Miller, you said you have the... Whoa, I'm in echo chamber here. You said you had the calculator there. Just for my sake, 35K reserves with the increase, what would it be if it was 1418, just to compare?
It'd be, you can add another 21,000 and change to that, okay, to that number.
Okay. Vice President?
What's the total budget for CDF? Total budget for the year?
Or for CDF?
For fire department.
Is it like that? They do have contingencies built into their capital and operating budgets because they have to have it. So, on one hand, some of those contingencies, like I think there's one for $30,000 in the operating budget, may not get spent. So you, in fact, would have that transfer to the reserve. The 1352 with the $35,000 will get you your fire services. The 1418, if you go to the 1418 and you don't need that money, you're essentially loaning that money to your fire customers, your fire taxpayers, and that could affect the next year's rates. That option's available to you. There's a couple of things. First is I have seen rates on things go down, included from my experience, but it's rare. So I think that the citizens will look at that and what's the chances of the rate going down next year so they can recapture that. Certainly they would get it in their reserves. $1,352 gets you your fire department in a very comfortable number. It's a comfortable number. And then from a policy decision, it comes down to is your current situation. And I know that there's a lot of I completely respect the attachment that we have and the sensitivity to this community's fire department. It's the stalwart and a lot of history and a lot of good things have happened around the fire department in every imaginable way. But I do feel compelled, as you're making your decision, to state that, given your current cash situation, I think to artificially or to, excuse me, make a mandatory prohibition on your ability to manage the district. And this has nothing to do with the fire department, because the fire department's pretty darn healthy. That I think you should weigh that heavy, because you do need some flexibility given the uncertainty that we face in the next 2 or 3 months. So it comes down to that too. And with that, I think 1352 will get you what you need. And we're comfortable with that.
Okay. Another question I have is for Mr. Miller with the calculator. In our packets, the average cost appears to be around $70.90. Is that based on 1418? And so that,
yes.
What would be the average cost if it was 1352?
It'd be...
just an average cost for a single-family home.
As stated by our quick calculating residents, $67.60.
Okay. Yeah, $3 different. $3 difference for the higher amount of reserves. $3 difference per home for a $50,000 reserve versus a $30,000 reserve. Is that what you're saying?
In round numbers, yeah.
Okay. Okay, just so we know. Anybody else have a question on the board? Director Sassania?
I just want to make sure I'm clear with the whereases. It states that the fire department recommended the 1418 benefit unit, but now I hear that's not true. 1352. And you're comfortable with those reserves. I want to make sure you're comfortable.
I'm Matt Jenkins, Chief CDF County Fire. I think it's time I speak to this. We're mixing words a little bit. We're really not talking about reserves. What 1352? There is a typo in the staff report.
Okay.
And the resolution. 1352 was the recommendation of the fire department in conjunction with the emergency services committee that fully funded your current level of service.
Yes.
In the community, and left the budget in the black by about $35,000. That would be $35,000 that could be put into reserves, not a $35,000 reserve.
Okay.
Now we got here, and I think Mr. Blesky kind of explained this. But as you remember, when we enacted the new fire tax, the special tax, it allowed the rate to go higher than it had been because it hadn't been adjusted for many years and had fallen behind the needs of the community. Now, the board at that time made a conscious decision to actually not increase the tax but lower it to a rate lower than it had been previously, even though they had the authority to go higher. And that was a conscious effort to spend down the fire department reserves. They were something over $700,000. It was felt by the board that $500,000 reserve for the fire department would be adequate, and we agreed with that. If you lose a fire engine, they cost about $450,000. So you have to have some sort of a reserve. If you lose one in an accident, you got to be able to replace it. We felt comfortable with that, and that was the intent. Now, this year, we would then start at square one. We would build a budget to maintain the existing level of service, just maintenance of effort, and the fire tax would make up the difference to maintain your level. That's 1352. And it maintains it with $35,000 buffer.
The question that I had, and this fund, the fire fund, is not like an enterprise fund. Funds have different rules. I think our legal counsel could probably enlighten us on that one. And what you can do with funds, an enterprise fund would be different than what you could do with the fire fund. And I don't know the answers to those questions, but they need to be clarified. I was at the Emergency Services Committee when the committee decided that they did not want to have their funds borrowed. And since that, the chief just said that it's part of their operating cost, the $35,000 is not a sinking fund, although they do need that. And when they came to the district, the fire department brought with them some reserves, quite a bit more than what we have now. Can somebody tell us what the fire department reserves were when we formed the district? Because that's probably what we should be making our goal to try to maintain. And then I think some of these issues will go over into the next item B. So could you answer any of those questions for me, please?
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Mr. Blesky?
Budget doesn't include fines. and don't know what the reserve was when we took over. And what was the second question? That's a policy decision for future action, and I don't have anything. I'm not prepared to discuss that.
We don't have it tonight to discuss. Mrs. Vega, do you have an idea of what the fire reserves are when we became a CSD?
I don't really remember. You know, they were large. We started borrowing against them or using them to balance our budget, as we all know, because of the special fire tax had remained very low for many years. But, you know, I couldn't really speak to exactly what the reserves were and when they went down. And
thanks for giving that a try. Director Tacker, did you have
I just
something?
Wanted to point out, Mr. Barrow, we passed a preliminary budget 2 weeks ago, and we're going to fix that, and that's where your question is going to be answered, the bifurcation of the fund, the legal fees between the ACL sites.
You don't have that in front of you right now, and the court hasn't. That may not happen this year.
When is the budget going to be finally approved? When's the final budget?
It has to be done by September 1st, and we haven't set the Saturday workshop or the meeting for adoption.
Sometime between now and September 1st. Mr. Golden, did you have... sorry. Who else would like to do public comment? Mr. Golden.
Well, first of all, along the question that's been Al asked, you want to keep in mind that the former board used to dip into the tune of in excess of $200,000 into the fire fund to take care of admin. And the other thing I just want to point out to you in your resolution, the third whereas, I think I heard Julie mention that earlier, the section is missing there, and it makes no sense unless you put that in. That is the ordinance itself. Section 6 of the ordinance should be spelled out after the colon on the third whereas. Because otherwise, after the colon, you're reading maximum tax amounts, and that's your calculation, and that is not Section 6 of Ordinance 2005-01.
Mr. Golden, could you read the sentence how you wanted to read for the third whereas? Oh, on the first page?
First page of your resolution.
I was on the second page. That's what it was. Sorry.
That's the one that says all that's here now, at least on my copy that we received yesterday. This simply says, whereas Ordinance 2005-01 provides as follows at Section 6, colon, that's it. There's nothing more said. And that, something's missing, which needs to be. And then I think also it's been mentioned that the other whereas CDF recommended this amount, so I think that's been covered. But I want to urge you to keep this fire tax money in the fire department. And I know that people will complain about the increase and all that, but bear in mind also that
at least Section 6 of that ordinance.
So it's the language of Section 6.
So this resolution is complete.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Brewer.
Well, I didn't hear anyone mention the 1418 versus the 1352. It turns out, I guess, that Rob Miller added some sort of cost of living increase index, some sort of multiplier, which I think is allowed. I don't know if you guys want to vote that in or not, but apparently that's completely legal. At least that's the impression I got. So I don't know if that increases the reserves to 70,000 or something. I mean, maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention that.
Okay, thank you. Okay. And once again, that was the 4.86 made it to 1418, and that made approximately at 50,000 buffer, not reserves, if we want to do that. And that was required. Is that correct, Mr.
Correct.
Miller? Okay. Thank you.
Martha Golden. With respect to the accuracy of the resolution, there is an error of some sort. If you will look at the quoted language, which is supposed to be the language of the ordinance, the 2005 ordinance, if all of it until you get to the language that talks about 2006-2007, may accurately reflect what the 2005 ordinance is. However, 2005 did not set a calculation for 2006-2007. Therefore, the resolution should more accurately read language that ends with 2005 and what the ordinance said, and then go on to tell us what it is the board is going to do or has done with respect to 2006. If you will take a look at the last half a sentence, you will see what I'm talking about, where it segues into 2006-2007 and then goes on to give the figures, the projected amounts for 2006-2007, that is not part of the 2005 ordinance and should be corrected by the board before you pass a resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bleski or Mr. Miller? Mr. Miller?
I don't have a copy of the ordinance in front of me, so I'm at a disadvantage.
Madam President. I think I have an answer to the speaker's question. I haven't been involved in detail in the ordinance, but I believe she is correct. As far as my recollection, I have a partial scan here of the original ordinance. I believe it would be more accurate to, if you're referring to the original ordinance, to terminate the language after the fourth line up from the bottom, after same date. I think would be more accurate.
Okay. Are you,
And then the chart, of course.
Okay. So you terminate the whereas and connect it to everything in Part A except for the last three lines. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You can say on the same date in accordance with the following, if you like. And that way it references the chart, which is the language of the original ordinance. Excuse me.
Thank you.
It's in the original ordinance. Yeah, but yeah, I think the best way to do this would be my original thoughts, and is stop the language after the words same date. The table stands alone for this ordinance, and we will adjust the amounts in accordance with what the board determines here tonight.
Okay.
But if you're referencing the original language in the 2005 ordinance, I believe it would be most accurate to terminate that after the words same date.
Okay, Mrs. Golden.
If you will, again, please look at paragraph A, which quotes the 2005 ordinance, I assume. At the end of the language, indices on the same date, there should be a period. And then the words "and that" should be stricken and start a new sentence, or actually it should be a new paragraph, because this is what the board intends to do. This same formula for the year 2006, et cetera, establishes the maximum, and it goes on then to show the chart. That is what the board's action is intended to be, and that needs to be a separate paragraph. If you love whereas, it should be whereas this establishes. But that's what needs to be done to make this accurate. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. That's good. Is that agreeable to staff? Yeah. We're still looking.
Let me just.
Richard Margetson. 2 years ago, the first fire tax failed. If it had passed, we may be at $125 or $25 per benefit unit at this point. The next year, when we passed the new fire tax, we didn't take the maximum of 67.60. The board reduced it to 37.60 for that year, knowing that this year it was going to have to go to the maximum because reserves were being drawn down last year to balance the budget. So over a three-year period, the increase basically is the difference this year from the $40 to the $70.90. That's been the increase for the last 3 years, basically $30.90 for an enhanced level of service. My concerns are this at 1352 gets you a $37,000 reserve or surplus that could be put into reserve. But that can only happen if the transfer to administration stays at the current budgeted amount for this upcoming year, which is $67,000 and change. Now, you've heard from the audience, you've heard from both committees, that they don't want you borrowing from the fire department fund. They don't want, or they want the funds segregated and tracked separately and in a separate bank account. But the one way that you can get the surplus from the fire department is increasing the transfer to administration over the course of the year. And that could just end up being another staff or, not staff, I would say general manager decision. My concern is if you only go the 1352, we have $37,000 potentially that could go into the reserve account. If you increase it to the 1418, which would be the maximum you can take this year, would draw it to, you may get up to $58,000, $59,000, potentially increase in the reserve. Keeping in mind that at this point the transfer to administration is only budgeted at $67,000 and you have financial problems, I think the community is concerned, I'm concerned, at what guarantee do we have that those transfers aren't going to happen, because the question that hasn't been asked at this point is where is the $500,000 that was supposed to be in reserves for the fire department at this point? This budget basically only gets you a $37,000 reserve for the fire department. I think that's a question you have to address. I think you got to make it very clear to the public what your intentions are, because I think this is one issue that they're not going to cut you any slack on. Thank you.
Anybody else? Oh, Mr. Payne?
I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Angeles. Richard brought up a point that I didn't know about. I heard the fire chief say that they intended to keep a $500,000, $500,000 reserve in case they needed to buy a fire truck that got crashed in an accident or a house fell on it or whatever. The point being, did Richard just say we're down to where we'll only have what reserve we put in this year? Please give me an answer to that. I didn't understand.
Mr. Payne, Mr. Blesky? I wasn't here the week you discussed the budget, so I thought this was already discussed, but maybe it hasn't been.
No, the operative was that there's a $35,000 surplus in this year's budget. That's what's surplus to this year's budget for the fire department fund.
Is the $500,000 still there in reserve?
We've talked about this before internally. However, there may be a need for an independent audit, too, and we have to address that issue.
Okay,
do I have a data when this is going to be complete? I haven't discussed that with staff.
Okay. But could you try to explain to the public why it's not so cut and dried or black and white, as you've tried to explain to me?
Well, we talked about this when we had the audit presentation here by our auditor. And one of the questions that I've got is, and over the course of the year with the way that the SRF fund came in and also a late extraction at the end of last year, which was noted, of about $1.2 million, that the lack of that 1.2 being in the reserves was not what we managed to, and that was one of the reasons we went through some of the turmoil at the end of the last quarter and the spring of 06. So it's unclear how much inadvertently got moved around between the various funds. It appears that there may have been certain loans that were done fund to fund that need to be ratified. In other words, we need the audit, and then there's a method to ratify that to get full accounting for it. I don't think any cash went out the door, but I think we got color of money issues, and we have to reconcile the funds on their audits. That audit has not been done, and that's what keeps coming up. We haven't reconciled the reserves to get a good grasp on it.
Okay. Any other questions from the board at this time? Any other questions from the public? Mr. Dugan?
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. All right, everybody just relax. Take a deep breath. The biggest emphasis was do what you need to do to keep the fire department emergency service running. Keep the money into that fund. I know you guys worked out what the ACL, I don't know if you worked out what the ACL is going to cost and all the litigation and all that, but that's going to be part of it. But people out there got to realize that we have to keep this fire department funded. This is not a willy-nilly tax increase. This is well thought out by emergency services, by the committee, and the public really needs to understand if you want to keep what I consider one of the best in Los Osos, we need to fund it properly. We just have to make sure that the money funds fire department emergency services in such a way as if it doesn't all of a sudden turn up, all of a sudden it's missing. We don't know what happened here. We need to audit this. That's the big thing right now. There's so many unknowns. So I don't know how you're going to be able to keep other people from raiding that money without some kind of firewall. Relax. I just know that my dad's ex-CDF, and he really does appreciate what goes on here. He's had a couple of calls already, and our family would like this level of service to continue. And if we have to put a hands off to administration for any other reason other than fire services and stuff like that, then please. Our family needs it, and a lot of other families need that, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dugan. Mr. Hunter, do you want to speak?
Jack Hunter, Los Osos. I think the community very much appreciates the level of emergency services that we have here in this community. And I don't think that the price of one good dinner a year given to the potential reserves, the fire department, is anything but being very cautious in this financial minefield that we're dancing through, and there's no need to risk emergency services. So I would urge you to adopt the 1418, and this community wants local government. We have to pay for it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else want to speak? Mr. Sparks?
I think you should make it clear to the community that, I mean, with this tax, it means you're not going to have the reserves replenished to the level they were last year for almost 14, 15 years with this rate, because they were at $500,000 at the end of last year. And so that means, you know, any major event, maybe it would be a good question for their fire representative to answer. And if you had a major fire event or emergency event, what would be the? How are you going to fund it right now if you go over your budget in the next 3-4 months? It's still not clear to me, you know, what's driving the a clear explanation of what's driving the this so-called need for audit before prior year, and the 1.2 million characterization by the general manager that was actually reserves, when at the end of the we just had an audit that reconciled a week ago, and that 1.2 million wasn't
too loud and clear. And that was one of the issues that was brought up in October of 2005 when I first got here. And yeah, I know we have in cash, but I don't know the character of the cash. And yes, that is a lack of understanding on my part. The reason for an auditor or internal review is to establish that exact fact. What was the facts? Now let me caution is that we just completed another audit on the SRF account that I testified in court to, and I don't want to sound like I'm getting too defensive, but the reason why I asked for an auditor, a CPA, to come in is to fill in the blanks of what I don't understand. That's exactly the purpose of that function, and that's why we keep bringing that up. I don't clearly understand, back to the beginning of the LAIF, back to every reserve, and let me direct the attention to most folks. Go look at the past year's budgets and take a look at the end year and the beginning year of each reserve and attempt to track that through to the current day, and you'll see what I mean. This is a question that really needs to be answered. Now, it may be fully explainable, but we need to get that analysis done. Okay, so that we understand the audit, so that we understand where is the reserves, and that's what I hear from many speakers, and that's a question that I have that we need to get to. There was one other issue on... Oh, the other thing is the testimony given to Judge Piquet. The feel that I had for what we had in the SRF account was right on the mark, not what was given by the contractors. So I just want to, the reason why I'm saying this is because I want verification on what I think. I don't have a real good feel where our reserves are. I want to get to the bottom of it. Over the course of this past year, because of the $1.2 million taken out of the LAIF and not knowing what that exactly was composed of, was it $80,000 that came out of Bay Ridge or reserve, or $300,000 that came out of the fire reserve, or $200,000 that came out of the water reserve? And that's the one that troubles me the most, because I can't track the water reserves even more so than the fire reserves. What was that $1.2 million? What components was it? I need that question answered so that we can go back in and make sure we get it cleaned up and ratified.
And then, Mr. Blesky, correct me if I'm wrong, but for the public's benefit, and I missed a week, but do you know that the LAIF is the local agency investment fund? And do you know that all our reserves from our separate different accounts with different numbers gets pooled into that investment account? So when Mr. Blesky says... 1.2 million got pulled out. The reserves were mixed. It was a pooled fund. If he can find no note that explains what the $1.2 million was pulled out for, no explanation, nothing written, no key, no code, no nothing, he's at a disadvantage. Is that what you're trying to tell people, or no? Is there a note? Did Mr. Buell take it out in one lump sum? Did he not? Explain what happened.
I don't know, and I don't know what advice that he was acting on. He was depending on others to give him the accuracy of his records. Because of that very thing, you know, what went from what reserve into the LAIF and what was drawn out from what fund is exactly how we handle the pool account, and it's exactly how we're going to handle other accounts when we get a chance to reorganize. The reason why we broke the pool account out when we just put it into the LAIF was so you could see that, for the exact reason stated by many, many speakers. It really is a very common sense approach to it. The other funds are not that way. We need to go reconstruct them.
Did you find no notes?
No notes.
No explanation about, was the $1.2 million one draw? Was it one chunk of money, or was it several chunks?
I think it might have been two, but the reference that I had was to, on the was in a package that went to the surety company when they were buying the grading permit, and it made a reference to a total withdrawal from LAIF of 1.2. And I don't know what that means.
Okay, well, does Mrs. Vega know? You were here, Mrs. Vega. Did you know what the $1.2 million was taken out of the LAIF for?
The question was put to me by Kathleen Schumacher a couple of weeks ago, working with our CPA, Anna Jane Hugh. The question came up, and that figure was put to me, and this was something that happened in September of 2005. And what and Kathleen directed me to talk to Mr. Buell, and she also directed me to talk to Ms. McClenahan, who had been working on this. And the answer that I received from both of them was basically that they had taken the August and September, is my recollection.
Okay, just for my benefit, to clarify what you're saying is money from the LIF fund came out to pay the contractors. Is that what you mean, or no? It got pulled out to pay for wastewater expenses of some sort still to be tracked.
And I've had conversations with Kathleen on that, and it's not clear.
Okay.
A couple of things, reason why. If you go in and you look in the accounting, when the SRF funding came in, it came in through the 100 account, and then they set up the 600 account. No money went into any other accounts and to backfill. So if that 6.6 came in, then how come we didn't go back in and the 6.6 and replenish the 1.2? Those are the kind of questions that are just glaring at me. Mm-hmm. That 1.2 should have been reimbursed out of that 6.6, and it didn't happen. And I'm clear on that.
And that's what we've been saying to you over and over this year, is that the first disbursement of the SRF loan was to reimburse monies that were borrowed out of the LAIF or other funds. And I know about the bond thing too, Richard. We've been through this a million times. But it is important to note that a 1.2 was pulled out of the LAIF, and they don't know where it came from. It was pulled out of the LAIF to pay for wastewater expenses. Okay, that's a fact.
There were bond proceeds in the LAIF.
Mr. Margetson says there were bond proceeds also in the LAIF. It was a mixed fund. It also contained the reserves. It was a mixed fund. Typically, our bond proceeds come in through the general fund. That's where they come in from the county. Not the county. Go ahead.
Madam President, Mr. Margetson's right. And that $1.2 million then would have been characterized as bondholder money. And that's exactly my point. When that 6.6 came in, the first crack at that was to reimburse those bonds. And I can't follow that clearly enough to really be able to talk at length. And that's why I'm saying we need to go in, clean all that up to answer all of these questions.
Okay, that's good. Anybody else have any questions? Let's take a break for 5 minutes. Let's get this language cleaned up, and then let's have a vote.
Sorry.
Okay, everybody. We're bringing this issue back to the board. Does the board have any other questions about or any other discussion that they would like to carry on about the setting of the fire tax? Thank you. Vice President Fouché?
I would just like to make one comment and just err on the side of conservatism. And I would think that in today's age that we may want to consider that 14-18 per benefit unit and just be conservative.
Okay. And Mr. Miller, once again, it's approximately a $3 increase for an average-sized home. Is that correct? To go from 1352 to 1418?
Correct.
Okay. Anybody else? Director Tacker, do you have any comments at this time? Director Cesenia or Director Sennett?
Well, I'd like to see the cushion
increase, especially with the uncertainty of the reserves. I would also respect that the community is, over the next year or so, going to be tapped out on other possible increases. So I think a conservative amount would be 1352, still replenish everything, and yet not represent a burden, although I don't know. It's how strong the fire department feels that this extra cash would be needed for contingency. And that would be, you know, I'd base my decision on how important is that extra $20,000 to the department. If it's really needed, I'd say let's do it and go 1418.
Chief Jenkins, would you like to add any additional comments at this time?
Well, I'm not sure I can answer your question. As your fire department, I would strongly recommend that you stay with the previous board's recommendation of a $500,000 reserve. We haven't answered the question about the reserves this evening, so I really can't speak to whether you need us.
President Schicker.
Yes. Okay, thank you, everybody, for your comments. And again, this can be adjusted again next year when we know more about the situation, what's going on. Thank you for all your comments and input. Okay, let's go to the next item.
Madam President.
Mr. Murphy.
You do actually have to adopt the resolution, Madam President.
Okay, so we just made a motion that didn't carry anything, or that was just setting the rate?
You moved to set the rate, now you have to move to
adopt the resolution.
Okay.
And direct us to submit the rolls to the county.
Okay. Now, Director Sennett?
I would augment that motion to include adopting the resolution with the previously stated benefit amount inserted.
And as amended by the amended version?
Definitely, yes.
Okay, Mr. Second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, any further discussion at all? Okay, can we have a vote, please?
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tacker?
No.
Vice President Fouché?
Yes.
President Schicker?
Yes. Okay. Now, did we complete the item? Everything we need? Okay. Okay. Mr. Blesky, I think we need you. Or Mr. Miller.
Hi.
Mr. Miller, can you do this?
Sure, I can take a crack at this one. This next agenda item is the adoption of the various assessments and special taxes, and it includes items such as the Wastewater Fund, Vista de Oro, Bay Ridge Estates, and Cabrillo, these and drainage. These are all special taxes that are identical amounts to what you adopted last year. And for the Wastewater Fund, we collect these dollars annually to make our bond payments, as indicated in the staff report. For the other funds, they're used to provide the various services that are indicated by the name of the fund. So be happy to answer any questions, but you're looking at the same cost per unit as you were last year.
Could you summarize for the audience who may not have all this information, what is the approximate cost of each of those assessments?
If you give me a second, I'll get those summarized. Maybe we'll take one comment
okay.
from finance.
Let's see if the board has questions first. Does the board have any questions on these funds? Mr. Golden, finance chair.
Well, this is clearly a agenda item which should have been brought to the financial advisory committee, and I just want to tell you we had no opportunity to discuss this, among other things, because the paperwork that is involved here arrived yesterday, It came by email, which is a very efficient way of receiving things. And it's wonderful when you discover that the thing is 49 pages long. Something that one can digest in part-time. I don't know how the board deals with all this paperwork. I see your binders are big and thick. But it seems to me, I rise to bring this to your attention, because if we're going to get out of crisis mode, we got to get back to a situation where a 49-page document that you're going to consider, or that you're going to want somebody to consider, should arrive in enough time so somebody can look at it and make some recommendations. Now, I know Rich Margeson is very good at this, and he can speed on through it, and maybe he'll come and tell us about it. But I found it impossible, and I think the rest of the committee did too. So I just, we had asked you for your instructions as to how we should operate. This is another question that I'm putting to you along those lines.
Thank you for your comments.
Madam President, I have those amounts ready
to Mr. Miller, thank you.
For the wastewater assessment district, the amount per year depends on the number of benefit units assigned to each individual property, but the typical single family would be about $220 for the year. For the drainage special tax, as in previous years, you're looking at about $16. If you live in Bay Ridge Estates, you're looking at about $201. For Vista de Oro, $216. And for the Cabrillo lighting area, $8.
Down. I've said this too, if we want local government and we have to pay for the room and the TV and the office and the, you know, all of the expenses, how does these kind of rates pay for the local government?
I'll probably let Mr. Blesky answer that. We don't.
Cabrillo did not provide administrative support, I believe, last year.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
And I don't have an explanation for that.
Mrs. Vega, maybe you have something history to add.
Well, the only other thing that I was able to determine when I was working on these resolutions and working with the attorneys at Mr. Murphy's firm is that all of these other well, everything that we see before us, including the drain, well, the drainage special tax would require another election to increase the special tax. The others, which are considered assessments, would require a 218 election of the people that are being assessed to increase their assessment. And that's, you know, why there's no flexibility here to increase any of these. And these are the same rates that we inherited from the county when back in 1999.
So the only way to raise any of these rates to accommodate for local government, paying for local government, would be to hold a special election and a two-thirds vote for any of these
Type
of funds? Okay. I just wondered because how do they ever get adjusted? And, I mean, Mr. Miller's time to prepare these rolls, it costs money.
Sure. And Madam President, for assessments, it would be if a Prop 218 vote would be 50% plus one of the assessed value in order to get a successful vote. And the only thing that was not inherited from the county, of course, is the wastewater assessment district, which was established in 2001.
And when you say the 50% plus one, is that a weighted vote or an individual vote?
It's a weighted vote. Based on the amount of the obligation for each property.
And for drainage, it would be a one person, one vote, or what? On the drainage, is that the same?
Drainage is a special tax, and then you probably look at the two-thirds. I'll let legal counsel amplify that, but I believe it would be two-thirds.
Okay. So the other ones are 50% plus one, and the drainage is probably special tax, two-thirds required. Okay, just wanted to know. All right, open. Any questions? Director Taggart.
Lisa, you brought up an interesting point about Cabrillo Estates and their $8 investment in their lights and how that really doesn't help run the district. But we're all paying a little bit through our fire department. So property taxes and the special fire tax goes to the fire department, which in turn the CSD charges an administration fee. So we all pay a little bit that way. Then there's customers that are in the water district that will pay an administration fee through there. Some of the same customers are in the drainage district, and so on. But I'm thinking there are neighborhoods that don't receive any services other than fire that are only paying through their fire service, and they're on a private well, and they don't have a street light, and they don't have a drainage tax. And so it's an interesting point that you bring up, and that we want local government, we want local control, but we're all charged differently to receive the same benefits of a CSD. And I don't know when or how, but at some point the community might want to think about how important it is to have that local control and then back it up.
And I guess that's just something I'd like to add at this point, and maybe it's for council to investigate or staff. How do other CSDs operate and pay their television bill and their rent and everything else, having enterprise funds or special tax funds? How do they do it? How can we continue to provide service for everybody, 15,000 people, if we have these small amounts to contribute to an administration of a district? And I'm just bringing it out to the public for food for thought, to think about it. You know, and this is reality. Look at these numbers. Yes, Mr. Miller?
Well, I suppose one potential thing to look at, of course, is many of the local CSDs do have active sewer customers, and that's one major source of revenue. Like, you know how large our water fund is, and mm-hmm. the sewer fund also is a major source of revenue once that's up and running. Of course, we're at a disadvantage in that category. So.
Do they ever have just an administrative tax? Do they ever? Is that allowed? That's not legally allowed for special districts?
I'll let legal counsel answer that, but I don't believe special districts can have general funds per se.
You can't have an like administrative fund, an operating fund, or anything like that. Mr. Murphy?
And I assume they covered the cost of providing the service at that time. And we haven't adjusted the rate since then. Do we even know if we're recouping the cost to provide the services in the past 7 years?
Mrs. Vega?
I'm not sure when all of these took effect. I think the drainage tax is the most recent of all of them. That, I think, happened just some time before the CSD was formed, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't live in the county at the time. 96 or 97, something like that. The assessments for these various, like Vista and Bay Ridge and Cabrillo and all those, they were done by the county, and my understanding was they were just, you know, dollar amounts. There was no inflationary clause, kind of like the fire tax we inherited. It was just a set dollar amount at the time that these you know, like the centralized septics and the street lighting districts were created, and there was no provision to increase them. And my understanding was that that's the same rate that people were paying when these were created, which I'm thinking is when those subdivisions were completed.
Mr. Busky.
And in speaking with John Seitz on the history of some of these, that there's a opportunity to put an escalation factor into these special assessments, and I'm not sure if it's applicable to special taxes, but that was not done before. That was not in the structure that we inherited from the county.
So how can the escalation factor be applied?
I think you would have to go back, and I'd have to defer to the council on how to structure that. I don't know the mechanism, but I'm certain that it would probably involve directly or indirectly some type of a 218 vote to change any of that.
Madam President, your fire tax is a good example of one that was structured that way, whereas these other ones weren't. And Mr. Blesky's correct that you would have to go back and vote again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just one last question. Do you know approximately how much an election cost, and could all of these, could more than one fund be considered at the same time in that election? approximately how much an election of this sort would cost?
$15,000. I can certainly speak to the assessment portion. That's one of the things that we do. To the extent that the special benefit's very straightforward, and I mean, maybe you're looking at $50,000 to $100,000 for the straightforward election for multiple 218 ballots. As far as the special tax go, I think there's some folks in the audience who could probably answer how much the fire tax cost us, having gone through that twice. But what was it, 30 or 40 or something like that, round dollars?
Okay, thank you. And approximately how much staff time is involved? I'm just trying to get an idea of how much it would cost.
To do the assessment, engineering, and everything?
Yeah, it wouldn't. Part of the cost that I was quoting would be the staff time, which in my mind was consultant time. You could do it in-house, too, for less expensive, probably.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Barrow, public comment?
Yes, thank you. Those are good questions and dialogue on the issue. The governance fee was what was the approach of the last district board. They had a percentage they took from all the funds, if I'm not mistaken. And to not be able to raise the governance or raise the money to pay for operating your district is not doing business realistically. And I think what we're seeing here is everyone is recognizing is that there needs to be some way to bring some funds to the table to pay for the things that we have to do and the services that we provide. And one of the services is we have to defend, it's your fiduciary agreement, responsibility to defend the citizens of the community from legal attacks. That's a cost of doing business for that. And somehow that's not been included in our budgetary approach. And I think that that has to be done to address all these other questions. So the governance fee, I don't know. I don't see how Bay Ridge, Vista D'Oro, and Cabrillo Estates can be defended from a $6.6 million fine and not have to pay the cost of that defense. Can somebody tell me that? That really, that's amazing. And this was a gift from us, and we do service those. We test those. The water department tests those, and we send in reports, and we have expenses on maintaining those community septic systems. And we even went as far as we didn't have the money to fund it, but your board approved an AC a company to fix those systems up so that they would comply, so that we wouldn't be on the meter. And we're still on the meter with those, $10,000 a day. So, you know, that has to be addressed in a very serious way. And the water, the problem with the water department, they only serve half the community, so you can't really get a governance fee out of that, and that's very problematic. So you have to change the structure of the district a little bit, and I know some people who would be willing to advise you if you'd be willing to take the advice, but along that lines, you've got a consultant that's Ripley that's doing a project update, and he says, "Well, I'm planning a step stag," and on the other side of the fence, you don't have a septic tank management program, so you can't really do that. You need to put that on your agenda, and that would also be a source of revenue for you without a special tax.
Thank you, Mr. Merrill.
Madam President, if I can just kind of address that. The contract with In Situ was approved. It's just that we can't fund it right now given our current cash situation. That's the only reason why. Good comments.
But Mr. Barra's suggestion, again, I was gone. Can't we do some interim volunteer work to augment In Situ so we can pay them? Is that
there, there's a number of issues on that, and certainly we can discuss that and look at other resolutions.
Yeah.
I think the thing that Mr. Yaroslavsky's firm brings, though, is like many of the other consultants we're using right now, Mr. Yaroslavsky does have credibility with both regional and state. He's done a number of very unique things,
so
but we can we can certainly discuss that and other options available. Okay.
Yeah,
but it's the cash right now.
Let's agendize that item as soon as possible. Okay, thanks. Mr. Perlman.
Hi, Alon Perlman, Prohibition Zone. I have absolutely nothing to add to what Mr. Albaro has just stated. I was preparing to say similar remarks, but he's covered them very well. You are operating a business, and no organization can operate without adjusting for inflationary costs or rolling in overhead. Now, I know there are certain state laws and restrictions within the structure, but to the degree that you can address those or to the degree that you can move forward and think positively, think for future years, not just over the next 6 months. Think as you are an organization that is going to serve this district for many years to come, you must plan ahead and collect the fees that not that you are entitled to, but that the services need to be have dispersed properly. Because if you don't have that situation, you also are at risk. You cannot claim fairness until you adjust those rates, and that's something you must do, again, within the limits and legal structures of the way these monies were collected. Looking at even the larger picture, this entire district is a mess. It's a whole gerrymandered overlap of this and that and the water not and the lighting and who can vote for what. That's a complete mess, and you have an opportunity to fix that, not by yourselves. This is where the state comes in, to have the Blakeslee bill not address the ridiculous cantonization, the Yugoslavia, the pre-1948 Israel-Palestine. To not address that is to not solve any problem for the future. You're here to do that, so I believe that's how you should approach it. To really restructure the district is key, and this is the opportunity to do that. So thanks for the time. Pleasure. I do want to suggest that if it does turn out that there are several houses that have the right to vote within the district, I will volunteer to come up with the $8 a year assessment for the street lighting and donate that for those structures, houses, over the next 3 years, in return, of course, for no votes on a 218, or at least that the votes go the way I see appropriate. I think that would be a fair way to go by things. Thank you.
Are you buying votes?
I'm donating services.
There you go. Night. Good night. Mr. Brewer.
Nothing so loquacious here. I was listening to Mr. Miller. He mentioned something about a waste management assessment district that the county is keeping in Cabrillo Estates. And then there's this thing in the Blakeslee bill called the Integrated Water Management District, which allows them to add additional assessments to places like Cabrillo Estates. My question is the same one I've always had. Why can't the CSD be given these districts so that they can make the assessment so they can pull in some of this money that everybody here is saying we should be getting? I just don't understand why we can't do that. Anyway, thank you.
Good question. Mr. Miller?
Yeah, Madam President, was a good question. The wastewater assessment district that I was referring to does not include Cabrillo Estates, but only includes those properties that were planned to be collected. And that is something that this district formed. You didn't inherit that from the county. You formed it in 2001. As far as other districts that would be available, those districts can be conceptualized, but to make them real and fund them requires a 218 vote. In other words, we could all imagine additional assessment districts, but to make them real and fundable, we have to get that positive vote from the properties that are impacted by that service.
So the only other ones that Mr. Brewer brought up are conceptual ones. They are not existing ones at the county. Did they keep them whole?
The Integrated Waste Management District is about to exist, and it's being done with legislation, not a Proposition 218 vote. Apparently, I guess they found some way of getting around a 218 vote for some of the assessments.
Yes. And Mr. Brewer probably knows more about that than I do at this point. I'm not aware of the details on that, but definitely an interesting thing. I'm sure the legislature has some authority to, although 218 I know was a constitutional amendment.
But it's there are exceptions, and some of them are things like, believe it or not, sewage treatment plants. That's an exception. But there's certain conditions that apply, and apparently I'm not quite sure. I'm not an expert. Maybe Frank was
Let's
here.
Do some more research and come on back.
Yeah. Be worth investigating
it's
what
good,
that
it's
what
good
that's
info,
about.
But we need to know more. Yeah. Okay, who else wants to comment on these rules, special tax rules to the county? Mr. Margetson.
Richard Margetson, the discussion you had about possibly having a special election or an election to raise these, you talked about the $8 in Cabrillo. That $8 only brings in $2,000 a year. But what you're failing to realize is Bay Ridge, Vista de Oro, and Cabrillo all get a portion of the property tax revenues that come to the district. And that increases annually. This next year, it's projected to go up, I think, between 9 and 10%. So there is an annual increase in these funds. And before you start thinking about spending $100,000 possibly on, you know, all the components needed for an election, I just want to read the annual budgets for these four funds. Bay Ridge this year is $38,000. Vista Cabrillo is $13,500. Vista de Oro is $16,800, and drainage is $133,000. I don't know if your return on investment is going to help you a whole lot here in the near term. I've always been concerned about, and I'm surprised Mr. Golden didn't bring it up when he was up here, I've been concerned for the last year that the time study ended up not charging Cabrillo Estates one penny in administration. But that's not, these four funds in total do not make up the majority of the work in this district. I mean, it's minor. I don't believe this is the area that needs to be, you know, it'd be nice if some of these could be raised, but this isn't the solution to this problem. And my last comment, the assessment rolls, I believe those funds should be in the same type of account that people were talking about for the fire department to make sure that those proceeds go to pay off those bond payments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Margetson. Anyone else like to speak? Mr. Payne?
Good evening again. Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos. On these funds that he was just speaking about, and also the swimming pool fund that I suggested maybe we'd put in a CD account in a trust fund for the swimming pool, which couldn't be touched. I hear that this LAIF local agency investment account is some kind of a high interest thing, earning a lot of interest. Could somebody tell me what percent that is compared to, say, a 5-year CDO, CD? I'm sorry, CDOs. A certificate of deposit has a pretty better rate than a savings account, and CDOs don't have any return. Anyway, I'm sorry. So anyway, this is one of the points that I want to make out is if we start putting some of these accounts that we really don't want to be depleted, especially the $500,000 that disappeared from the fire department, we need some of that stuff has to be protected, and I think we need to look at how much less interest we can live without in those funds, rather than try to put them all in a LAIF fund that we can't track and that can be attached indiscriminately with no accounting. We don't know what happened to that money. We need to find out. And I don't know how we'd ever get it back if we found out what happened to it. Some of the people moved out of state, I think. That's just what I've heard. I don't know anything about. Some of these accounts that would require a 218 vote, if this begins to look necessary, I think possibly we could resend that resolution of asking the county to take over making our decisions on a wastewater project with a blank check like we've already experienced. Maybe we could do a 218 vote for a few bonds to do something in a wastewater account. Maybe the constituents that put you in office might want to take you out of bankruptcy. And I think maybe this is something we could look at. Also, I'd like to see you drop the partnership with the state against our right to have a 218 vote, make that loan illegal, stop the lawsuit we're spending money on for a breach of contract lawsuit. And I'm sure you want me to quit now. My light turned red. Thank you.
Yes. For the next speakers, we're really just speaking about the tax rolls tonight. That's really what, you know, we're supposed to be speaking on this item, which is item B, assessment and special tax rolls to county for collection. So, any comments from staff so far or anything you want to say? Okay. Anybody else want to speak? Closing public. Oh, Mr. Sparks, sorry. The timer stopped working? You're on your own. You've been trained well these weeks.
Since this is about the tax rolls, I guess I have a question, and maybe this is really more budgetary, but I guess at what point do the fines that I guess are upheld so far become payable? And this is really for Bay Ridge Estates and Vista de Oro. And when would the payment be asked for by the state? And so, and this may be a question for council or Rob, would Vista de Oro and Bay Ridge have to have a 218 vote to pay those fines? And if they, I can't imagine they do that, let's vote to pay fines. And if they don't do that, then what is, and I don't know if legal would answer this, what then would be the mechanism for the state collecting those fines?
That's an excellent question. It's the same one I have myself.
I believe those were, in fact, it sounded much like some of the arguments I heard from John Seitz during the hearing, raising those exact questions as to what are the mechanisms by which the district can collect those fines from its users. There was a lot of discussion in the hearing on that. But I don't have an answer to those. That really falls deeply within the legal realm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Murphy, do you have anything to add from your knowledge?
Well, short of just saying no, and short of not wanting to give the state ideas on how to collect those, I would really have to take a better look at that. I don't know off the top of my head how you impose fines in that way, but I'm sure I could take a look if you would like to direct me to do so.
We're on a budget right now, a tight budget. Mr. Dugan.
So Dave Dugan, Los Osos, we've entered into the realm of the ACLs, which I believe the state has denied our appeal on. So it goes to the courts. So if they don't assess themselves at a 218 to pay their fines, and the CSD is no longer in control, I suppose the state would have to lien their homes. But I believe this needs to go back to the Finance Committee. I think something was said earlier that perhaps before you guys make a decision to let Finance look at this, at least hash it out. And I was there at the meeting last night, and I think they wanted to look at this again because they didn't have a chance. And drainage, of course, water ops and drainage. We never covered this. John, please. Please, when I'm talking, would you please not talk? And so I would like to see this go by the water ops and at least have a small discussion on drainage, which is part of water ops. John Fouché is the liaison. That's all I can say. Thanks.
I'd like to read something to the public. The board should note that the deadline for submitting the respective roles to the county is July 14th. It's this week. So that's the reason why we're having this special meeting, and we're up to the wire here. I apologize. Yes, Mr. Page?
Yeah, hi. I think that the white elephant in the room is Proposition 218 in terms of these fines. And I've read a lot about Proposition 218, which is Article 13D of the state constitution. One of the things that I read about the state constitution is that other laws are kind of like prohibitory against it. It's this big, vague, general law that's got a lot of teeth, basically. So if you have all these fines, and it says in proposition, it says in the proposition or in the article, it says that that you actually have to only charge people for a specific benefit to their property. Well, the fine is really not a benefit to my property, and I would expect that to be to have some sway in any decision. And I really like seeing you going about your business. This is your business, you know, what you're doing now. And I really think that the fines don't they have a lot of no man's land for themselves. And that over time, I think that light will be shed on that. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Page.
Madam President, I have a question for
Mr.
the speaker.
Mr. Bleski. Mr. Page?
And also for counsel, just not to get counsel to go crazy.
Into the mic, please. We can't hear you.
Not to get counsel to go crazy, because he always loves it when I start off like this. When the concept of CDOs and the ACLs...
Let me stop you for a minute. We've gotten a bit of field from item B, and I think it's time that we return and... we've let some speakers probably have a bit more leeway than we should, but this is not the time to discuss CDOs or other kinds of fines.
But I just had a question on history. Were those procedures established prior to 218 for the State Board? Do we know?
You know what? I don't know.
Okay.
And again, we're getting a bit far afield from item B and the submission of the tax rolls to the county for collection by Friday.
Okay, thanks.
He's very reliable.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Murphy, for keeping us on track. Yeah. Anybody else? Closing public comment at this time? Any further discussion from the board? Can I have a motion, please? Oh, pardon me, Mrs. Vega, what? What do you need for the motion?
Well, can we pass one motion approving all the resolutions, Mr. Murphy? That would be easiest. And
why don't we do that?
Can we? That would be great. Yes. Thank you. So you can do one just for all of the different roles in front of you.
Director Tagger?
Shall I?
Please.
I move we approve the assessment roles for the Wastewater Assessment District, Bay Ridge Estates, Vista de Oro, and Cabrillo Estates.
Do I have a second?
Madam President,
yes.
I believe the movement would be to adopt the resolution.
The resolutions that approve the tax assessment rolls.
Thank you for being sharp at this hour. I second the motion. Could I have a roll call vote, please? Oh, any further discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
Director Tacker.
Yes.
Vice President Fouché.
Yes.
President Schicker.
Yes. Thank you. All right. We're done. Do you want to have closing comments, anybody, or do you want to wrap it up? We're going to see you Thursday night.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say good night. See you Thursday night over at the Community Center. Yeah. Thanks for coming, and thanks for the lively discussion.
Thank you.